Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kresge. Henry Fortunato is the Public Affairs Director for the Kansas City Public Library. He's something else, too, a walker. Henry does not drive a car. Last October, he walked from his home in Overland Park to downtown Wichita. Why? We're about to find out. Later on this hour, a car powered not by gasoline or solar energy, but by tweets, retweets, and Facebook likes. No kidding. But first up, the library's Henry Fortunato, the new Simmons Public Humanities Fellow at KU's Hall Center for the Humanities, primarily to do research for a forthcoming book about his Kansas walks. And Henry, good to have you, and by all means, congratulations on the great honor.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Simmons Fellowship at the Hall Center for the Humanities at the University of Kansas. It's a part-time fellowship, so I will still be at the library most of the week, but one or two days a week I'll be in Lawrence doing research for what I think of as my long walk, which will take place in 2014 and take me from Overland Park all the way across the state to Mount Sunflower.
Now, you have – that's a new idea to me. This is a longer walk than you had talked about previously. Where did the genesis for that one come from?
Oh, well, you know, at first I thought that walking to Wichita would be enough. But in the process of doing it, I decided that wouldn't make a lot of sense to anybody outside of Kansas or the Midwest, that I had to cross the entire state, that would make a really good book.
Because Mount Sunflower is way west.
Mount Sunflower is about 20 feet east of the Colorado line, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a staggering height of what?
Well, it's not really a mountain. It's merely the highest point above sea level on the high plains in Kansas.
So you want to do that, what, next year?
I want to do that in the fall of 2014, yes.
That's a long way. How many miles is it?
Well, the way I'm going to do it, it's probably going to be about 700 miles.
Really? And you're going to do it by yourself like you have with other walks you've taken?
I always do it by myself. Walking is a solitary activity, and I mean, I go with my stick, but that's about it. Yeah, no, I do it by myself. Occasionally, people will join me for, I don't know, a mile or so, but largely, it's by myself. Yes.
It's solitary. Why? It doesn't have to be, right?
Well, you know, I think walking is one of those things that you do because you want some time alone. You want some time to think. You want some time to reflect on what you're passing by. If you're with somebody else, you're worrying about them. You're making decisions based on what they want to do. It suddenly mm-hmm. changes the dynamic. So, no, I have to walk alone.
What are the physical demands of walking from Overland Park to Mount Sunflower?
Well, I can't talk about that yet because I haven't done it, but I can certainly talk about the physical demands of walking from Overland Park to Wichita.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think there are all that many. For me, I've been taking what I call these reconnaissance rambles for the last three years. I've been building up my stamina. I've been extending my range. I've been getting a lot of experiences, so I know how much water to carry. I know precisely how to pack my pack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm prepared for all the experiences, which, you know, range from roads that I have no choice to walk on that have massive traffic to, you know, loose dogs and everything in between.
Well, how do you handle the loose dogs? Because I can imagine that might be a little bit unsettling at times.
Well, you know, at first it was, but again, over the years of taking these walks, it becomes pretty predictable. The dogs fall into about three different ranges. There's the dogs that yap.
Yeah, go ahead and take a drink there. And we're visiting with Henry Fortunato. He's the Public Affairs Director for the Kansas City Public Library. He's talking about his forthcoming walk from Overland Park all the way out west to Mount Sunflower.
There's the dogs that yap and run up and see you, but they stay on the property. There's the dogs that join you on the road and then stay with you until you leave the boundary of the property. And then there's the dogs that decide that you're really interesting, and they decide to – they don't so much follow you as accompany you. Mm-hmm. They're in front of you. They're behind you. They're on the side. Sometimes they come with me for miles at a time until – this always happens. They meet something more interesting, which is another dog.
Yeah. More interesting than Henry Fortunato.
Well, for the in a dog's world, in
that?
A dog's world, that must be the case.
Well, you didn't mention the word scary about my experience. You know, bicycling through on small roads, the dogs come out. They can be kind of intimidating.
Well, as I say, the first 8 or 9 times it happened, it was a little nerve-wracking, I think you could say, because they come real close and they do bark, and some of them have big teeth.
Yeah.
But they really are just – I've never had a dog bite. I've never had anything near it. And I do have my stick. And there are things you can do with a stick that would dissuade dogs if worst comes to worst.
And so they approach you. Do you ignore them? How do you handle that? Because, again, they can come – they're protecting their turf. They're coming at you pretty quick, I imagine.
I tell them to go home. I yell at them. But like everybody else, they ignore me.
Mm-hmm. But you handle it okay.
As I say, the experience to date is that nothing will happen. They will stay at the property. They'll accompany me to the edge of the property, or they'll just come with me for a few miles until they meet another dog.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about your trip you took last fall. You took a walk from Overland Park to downtown Wichita in just a minute. But as you plan out this journey from Overland Park to Mount Sunflower, you're talking mostly back roads. You're not going to go I-70, right? So how do you go ahead and plan something like that?
It is almost entirely a back road, section line road, country road, gravel road journey with as many trails as I can build into it. And how do I do it? Well, I use Google Maps, actually. If you use Google Maps and you go from point A to point B, there is a pedestrian feature in that, not just a driving feature. That pedestrian feature is not perfect, and so what you really need to do, what I do, is I hit the magnification button, and I make it really, really big until I see what those roads look like. And then I move the cursor around back and forth, and it's really tedious and annoying. But at the end of the day, I get a route that has me on back roads almost 90% of the time. And it's very akin to what William Least Heat Moon talks about in his book about Chase County and the Flint Hills.
Prairie Earth, a terrific book. He was out here a few months ago on the 20th anniversary of the publication of that book, which I just loved.
And in Prairie Earth, he talks about the great Jeffersonian grid, you know, this remarkable decision to create what is essentially a graph paper overlay on Kansas and most of the Midwest. And while it's not perfect, it's close enough. And so you can sort of stair-step your way down from town to town on this grid, and it's almost impossible to get lost.
Hmm. That's cool.
Oh, it's actually a
lot. That's a certain confidence booster, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, every county does it differently. So sometimes the roads are numbered in the thousands, sometimes they're numbered in the hundreds, sometimes they're numbered in the tens, sometimes they use the alphabet. But as soon as you cross the county line, you figure out what the new numbering system is, and then you've cracked the code.
Mm-hmm. How often do you meet fellow travelers on these trips? I'm guessing not real often, but maybe I'm wrong.
There's hardly anyone ever out walking. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people, well, maybe not a lot of people, but there are certainly over the course of a given hour, anywhere between 3 and 7 people who will pass by me on one of these gravel roads, one of these dirt roads. And, you know, 2 or 3 of them will stop.
They'll pass by on foot, or they'll pass by
in their vehicle. Mm-hmm. In their vehicle, they'll stop. They'll stop, and invariably they will wonder, you know, are you lost? Do you need help? Do you want to ride? And invariably I turn them down every now and then for extraneous reasons.
You've made a few exceptions, I've noticed.
I will make an exception. Yeah. But there was one woman, not on this walk, but on a previous walk, who asked the question in pitch perfect tone. I mean, she saw me. I'm in my hiking getup, you know, my orange sweatshirt and my walking stick and my backpack. And she said, "Are you wanting to be walking?" And I said, "Absolutely." And she said, "I thought so. Just wanted to make sure." And she drove off.
What do people make of the fact that you're just out walking where you're walking? Because, again, it sounds like it doesn't happen very often. Folks don't see people doing that very often.
No, they don't. And, in fact, you know, you're walking through this, you know, largely empty countryside and these very small towns, and you think you're all alone. But if you pass one of those signs that say, "We call the sheriff," be assured that they do. Because you indicated that, you know, that I, every now and then I do take a ride, sometimes involuntarily. And I'll be talking about this particular story in a longer version in my talk tonight at the library.
Right.
But yes, I was – somebody did see me walking through a town, and and I, as I said, I wasn't trying to be inconspicuous. I mean, I had an orange sweatshirt on.
Why orange sweatshirt? I was going to ask you.
Why orange?
You want to look like an orange, right?
I mean, I want to be seen by cars, and I want to be seen by hunters. I mean, I don't want to be camouflaged. Mm-hmm. I want to be as obvious as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very obvious, and so somebody called. The sheriff.
This is in Chase County, right?
This was in Chase County.
Yeah.
Somebody called the sheriff, and suddenly I felt a vehicle coming up behind me, and I turned around, and it was a law enforcement vehicle, a sheriff's department at Chase County. And after ascertaining that there were no warrants for my arrest and I wasn't up to no good, he offered to drive me to the county line. And it was a very windy day that day. Very, very windy.
Very windy.
It was like 75 miles per hour. I was bent over at a 45-degree angle. And I said, you know, I've never been driven to a county line before. I think I'd like that.
And he did.
Yeah, so that was about 5-6 miles.
And that's what they do with folks they want to see get out of town. They drive them to the county line and say, see you later, right?
Oh, I think that he would have let me off right there. I mean, there was... not illegal to be walking through Chase County. I think he was more just blown away that I was walking to Wichita and offered to be of assistance.
You talked to Cindy Hodel from the Star magazine about that, and it sounded like the sheriff's deputy just wasn't buying the idea at first that you worked for the public library in Kansas City and just had all kinds of questions about who you were.
Mm. Well, you know, he asked me why I was doing it, and I said, well... because I can.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what does that mean? And I said,
yeah,
well,
what's that about, buddy?
I said, well, I'm 56 years old, and I can do whatever I want if it's not illegal or immoral. And I'm pretty certain walking to Wichita doesn't qualify on either one of those counts. And this is a way for me to press the envelope. This is a way for me to keep testing myself. And I get a great deal of satisfaction out of it. And he said, uh-huh.
Wasn't there something about your accent, too, that he wasn't quite buying?
Well, he, I mean, this was just too much for him to process, I think. He was just doing his job. I don't hold it against him.
Right.
But I said, look, you know, I'm a real person. I'm the director of public affairs at the Kansas City Public Library. And I gave him my business card. And
he wasn't buying that either.
So, well, I don't know. Maybe he thought I had that made at a stationery store. So he called the phone number. And eventually he got to the director of the Central Library. And she emailed me about 5 minutes later and said...
she told him she'd never heard of you before.
No, Crosby Kemper would have done that.
Yeah. Henry, who?
But luckily, Crosby wasn't there that day.
Yeah.
She said, yes, it's not unusual for Henry to be found wandering across the Kansas countryside. And yes, he works at the library. And she said, he was probably confused because you don't have a Missouri drawl.
Mm-hmm. And you don't?
No, I think I still retain a bit of my native New Yorker.
Yeah. You know, you said a minute ago, Henry, that you do some of this because you want to push yourself a little bit, press yourself. You said, why? Why is that important for you at 56?
Well, I'm 57 now, and I still feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I think it's important? I think we always have to keep challenging ourselves. I think we always have to keep pressing the envelope, not just intellectually and mentally, but also physically. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not an athlete. I'm never going to compete in a triathlon, but I can walk long distances, and I derive great satisfaction out of the physical accomplishment of getting from point to point on my own 2 feet.
Henry Fortunato is our guest. He works at the Kansas City Public Library. He'll speak more about his long and winding walk to Wichita this evening at 6:30 at the library's Plaza Branch. You can visit kcur.org for more details and to RSVP for the event. Again, that's tonight at 6:30 at the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library on the Plaza. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. If you have a question for Henry and the joys and tribulations of walking across Kansas, 816-235-2888. Our email address, up to date, at kcur.org. You can also tweet us at kcur up to date. So last fall, Henry, your talk tonight is going to talk about focus on your walk from Overland Park to downtown Wichita. You did it. Why? Same reason we've already discussed, probably, right?
More or less. Although that specific walk was contemplated to be the longest walk I'd ever taken. It was roughly 240 miles. The previous longest walk I'd taken was about 185 miles.
Wow.
So I wanted to extend the actual distance of what I wanted to do. And I also wanted to go to a place, I wanted to get to Wichita as opposed to, say, you know, Hillsboro or Newton, which are places that I walk through, but that wouldn't have quite the same resonance to it. It seemed to me going from Overland Park to Wichita, which is basically a little bit more than a third of the state, that seemed like an accomplishment worth trying to get.
There's probably no one better to ask this question to than you, Henry. What shoes do you wear on your walks, and what makes a shoe comfortable?
Oh, that's interesting. I actually go through a variety of shoes, and I've, again, These reconnaissance rambles have found the best foot gear, and it's actually a relatively moderately priced hiking boot that I get at Bass Pro Shop. I think it's their in-house brand. I actually prefer to walk in a good pair of sneakers, but the problem with that is that on a lot of these roads that I walk on, the shoulder is very narrow to non-existent, and then it dips down into a ditch.
Sure.
And the ditch is often covered with grass and weeds. And so the sneakers are not and they're wet, you know, in the morning.
Yeah.
And so if you're in these sneakers, then you get wet. But if you're in hiking boots, you stay a lot drier. So after a lot of experimentation, this moderately priced pair of hiking boots is turned out to be the best. And I probably go through about a pair a year.
Okay. Let's go to Phil from Leawood. Phil, you're on Up to Date with Henry Fortunato. Good morning.
Good morning. Really interesting conversation here. I appreciate your guest sharing it with us. One of my questions, I have two questions, and you kind of answered one. What type of shoe or boot do you wear? And the other, when you walked to Wichita, how many miles a day did you walk usually?
Okay, well,
I'll listen to this off the air.
Sounds good, Phil. Thank you.
Well, as I said, the boot is whatever. I don't know what the brand is. I don't know. I really don't pay much attention to those things. As far as the mileage goes, the perfect day for me is about 23, 24 miles. I'll do as much as 30, and I'll do as few as 15. As I plot these routes out on the Google map, the point-to-point has to be from a place where there's a motel, hotel, guest house, B&B, somebody I know, somebody I've persuaded to put me up to the next place. I mean, I don't go camping. I mean, I don't carry a sleeping bag and a tent and all that kind of stuff. I want to be in a bed every night. I want a bathroom. That's what I want to do. But what I've been able to find is again, using Google Maps and really spending some time scoping out how these walks can work, is I can find these distances of somewhere between 18 and 28 miles. So that's the mileage I do every day.
And that sort of works. You can find what you need by doing about that much then, eh?
Yeah, that seems to be – so far it's worked. It's going to be a bit more challenging when I take a western Kansas walk, because the towns are a bit more spread out. And the major roads are really busy because there's not too many minor roads. And so those walks are going to be longer. So I am gearing up to make that 30-mile range a standard as opposed to something I only do every now and then.
Yeah, that's a serious number of miles, Henry, even though the terrain's relatively flat. That strikes me as that's a pretty good day's work.
It's a very good day's work. I try and do about 3 miles per hour. That doesn't always work because I get tired as the day goes by. So as the day goes by, I'm more like 2 3/4 miles, 2.5 miles an hour. So a 30-mile day is about 11 to 12 hours.
What have you discovered, you know, about our home state of Kansas in during these walks that maybe people should be aware of? Have you made come to any great revelations about the state, its beauty, its character by walking as much as you have?
All those things. I think for many, many people, the experience of passing through Kansas is at 100 miles an hour on I-70.
Can't get through it fast enough, right?
And it's all a blur. But when you do it at 3 miles per hour, it's a totally different experience. You see that there's, you know, 10 different shades of green and 8 different shades of yellow and hundreds of different kinds of barns. And I find it really, really mesmerizing, particularly the Flint Hills. But all of it to me is really breathtaking. I think, though, what have I learned? I think one of the great things that happens to me on these journeys is that I invariably meet some really extraordinary people who put themselves out, who offer to help me, who allow me into their lives for 10 minutes or sometimes a day. And it's like, sometimes it's like visiting with a clan of my family that I'd never met before. It's really wonderful.
You know, after reading William Least Heap Moon's book on Prairie Earth about Chase County, Kansas, I've been wanting to get down there and spend time in the Flint Hills and sort of walk it and do it and really sort of immerse myself in it. And I haven't come across that opportunity yet, but boy, that book just captured me. And listening to you describe your walks, I just find it so, so interesting. I would love to get down there and sort of really spend some time.
Well, you know, there's an easy way to do that without doing it the way I do it, and that is to go to either Cottonwood Falls or Strong City, both of which have some hotels and motels, and then spend a day in the Tallgrass Prairie Preserve, which is just north of Strong City. And there's a series of trails there, and they're not very long, maybe 6 to 8 miles. And so you could make it a very nice day trip, and that would be a great way to sort of dip into it and see if you like it. I will say, though, that as nice as the Prairie Preserve is, the back roads are, I think, a bit more compelling, because then you see farms, then you see animals, then you see people actually living it as opposed to a place that's closed off.
Have you been injured along the way ever?
Never.
No turned ankles, no nothing?
Nothing. I do take a pretty serious regimen of Advil and Tylenol to keep the muscle aches down. But no, nothing. I've never had an injury yet, no. Mm.
Beth writes us at UpToDate at KCUR.org. What was the total cost of your trip to Wichita, and did you take photos?
I took a lot of photos with my cell phone, and they're not National Geographic quality, but they will be part of my talk tonight at the library. What did it cost? Not that much. Your average motel in rural Kansas runs about $65-$70 a night. Mm-hmm. Your average restaurant meal, and I eat very light on these trips.
Really?
Because there's no bathrooms. Let's get real practical here. So I have a very light dinner. I have a very light breakfast, and I don't eat lunch.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I would think you'd be like burning up so many calories, you'd want to be putting something down.
Actually, I like the fact that I lose a few pounds on these walks.
That's okay.
So I don't know. I figure it's somewhere between $100 and $125 a day. So pretty reasonable cost for what is, in a sense, my vacation.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to take a hike to Mount Sunflower, the highest point in Kansas. That's 4,039 feet above sea level. No surprise, given that's right on the border with Colorado. So once you get there, you're going to walk back. Is someone going to pick you up? What's the return trip look like?
I'm expecting and hoping a resounding party of my wife and my three children waiting for me, playing some triumphant music on a stereo. No, we'll just drive home. That'll be it.
And I've got to ask too. You don't have a car. You don't drive a car.
I don't have a car.
How do you get around town?
I take the bus. Mm-hmm. I walk a lot, and I cadge rides whenever I can.
And it works out.
So far, I mean, yeah. You know, it can be challenging. There's some strategy involved, but I get around.
Henry Fortunato again speaks about his long and winding walk to Wichita this evening at 6:30 at the Kansas City, Missouri Library's Plaza Branch. You can visit kcur.org for more details and to RSVP. And Henry, it's been just a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming in.
Steve, always good to see you.
You bet. That's Henry Fortunato. He's the Public Affairs Director for the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. We'll be right back.